firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord.
Have you ever wondered if we can outsin God? Or to put it another way, can we ever sink so low and sin so much that God's grace can't reach us? Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm so glad that you've joined us today as our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, answers these important questions and so many more as he dives into the first chapter of Hosea. Known as one of the minor prophets, and you'll hear Dr. McGee take an exception to that descriptor, minor, Hosea is a fascinating book, a book that begins with a scandal, a big scandal, and that could show up in any made-for-TV movie that you might see today. But ultimately, when we get to the end of this book, I think what you'll remember most is the amazing depth of God's love for us, every one of us. Before we get started today, Greg Harris, our international director, is joining me to tell us a bit of what our world prayer team is up to and to give us a preview of how we can be praying together next week as we head to Northeast Asia. So, Greg, what countries will we be praying specifically for in Asia?
Well, as you know, Steve, each week our World Prayer Team does focus on a specific region of the world. So next week, we'll be praying specifically for the countries of China, Japan, Mongolia, North Korea, and Taiwan.
Wow. I know there's lots of spiritual needs in that list of countries. Why don't you talk us through some of the prayer needs for this part of the world in particular?
Well, let's start with China, the world's most populous country.
Yes, as I recall, there's about 1.3 billion and change people there and growing.
Steve, you always amaze me with your knowledge.
Yeah, it's Wikipedia that helps me.
Well, looked at another way, that 1.3 billion population number also means that one in five people in the world today live in China. It's a stunning statistic. Yep. Now, the good news is that the church is growing rapidly, but rapid church growth means there's often widespread spiritual immaturity and even the influx of cults, and that's why our Mandarin ministry is so important.
Well, this letter from a Mandarin listener, Greg, I think really illustrates that well. This is a woman, and she writes, "I am a 63-year-old sister and serve with my house church. However, the brothers and sisters here are not united in Christ. They fight against each other. They judge each other. I'm anxious and worried about the situation. I have limited strength and knowledge, so your programs are a big help to me. Please pray for our church and my service here."
And Steve, in so many parts of the world, Through the Bible is needed to help believers mature.
Both young Christians as well as ones like this woman who's probably been a believer for several years.
Yes, we hear that our program blesses people at all stages of their Christian walk.
Mm.
Now, another country we'll be praying for that has some similar problems and challenges is Mongolia.
Yes.
You know that's very close to my heart.
Uh-huh.
The church there is growing very rapidly. In fact, going from zero believers to more than 100,000 in just 25 years.
Yeah, such an amazing statistic.
And as you know, Steve, we began broadcasting Through the Bible in this country just a few months ago, and we're already getting wonderful responses, and we're encouraged to know that our programs are strengthening these new believers.
And all of us have been thrilled to see this new project get off the ground, Greg. What can you tell us about North Korea? That's a big one.
It is. It's one of the most isolated countries on the planet and one of the most dangerous places in the world to be a Christian.
Yeah.
And that's why radio is such a wonderful way to reach into North Korea. Now, we broadcast from several transmitters in South Korea that can be heard in the north. And, Steve, persecution is so brutal in this country that possessing a Bible or Christian literature can result in imprisonment or death, not only for that person, but all of their family members.
And I understand that goes sometimes to two and three generations.
It's just incredibly serious persecution of believers.
Well, Greg, we're so thankful to God that we can minister in such a spiritually needy part of the world, in North Korea in this case, and around the world, literally. So thanks for the update, and please pray for us now as we open our study today.
I'd be glad to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would use the teaching of your word to reach those who so desperately need it, especially in Northeast Asia. Would you build up, strengthen, and encourage our brothers and sisters as they face challenges beyond our imagination? Build up our faith today as we study your holy word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now I return today to the prophecy of Hosea. For the past two times, you've listened to a message that we gave some time ago as a sermon, but we felt it furnished a proper introduction to Hosea. This man is a remarkable prophet, and I personally do not like the classification of major and minor prophets. Actually, that was put in by the church, I suppose, about the 3rd century. It was not that way in the Hebrew Bible, and Hosea was just put with the other prophets and was not put last in the Old Testament. If they had waited until I got here to make an arrangement of the books of the Bible, I would have made the arrangement of putting the prophetic books with the historical books, the ones they belong with. And have you noted that practically all of the writing prophets, their message belongs to the divided kingdom? When the kings fail, God raised up prophets to speak to the nation. And these men, every one of them, are outstanding. And just because some of them didn't write long prophecies, after all, you wouldn't want to call Elijah a minor prophet, would you? He'd be a mini-minor, because he never wrote any prophecy. If Elijah might be classified the first, John the Baptist, the last of the prophets, never wrote anything, and yet he was a prophet of God and announced the coming of the Savior. So that when we come here to the prophecy of Hosea, we're coming to one of the great books of the Bible. It actually belongs before Jeremiah. Hosea was contemporary with Isaiah and Micah, and also his compatriot in the northern kingdom, Joel. Hosea and Joel in the north, Isaiah and Micah in the southern kingdom. And this man, Hosea, would compare to Jeremiah. Jeremiah's the last prophet before the southern kingdom went into captivity. But over 100 years before that, Hosea had been the prophet in the northern kingdom, and he occupied the same position of warning the nation, and he did it with a broken heart. But his broken heart comes from an experience that he's had, and that's what we've been dealing with. You see, Jeremiah, his was personal, but nevertheless, it was more public. He loved his nation, and he was a tender-hearted man that broke his heart to have to give them a harsh message, but that's the kind of a man God chose. Now, I don't consider Hosea a tender-hearted man like Jeremiah, but this man had an experience, and as we've seen the past 2 days, he comes out of a broken home with a broken heart, and we're going into detail now into the text. And from that broken home and that broken heart, where a wife had been unfaithful to him and had become a harlot, he even loved her so much, he went back and took her again, and she played the harlot again. This man, with hot tears rushing down his cheeks, walks out before the nation, and he says, "I want to tell you how God feels about you, because I feel the same way. I've had a personal experience in my own home." And this man with a broken heart could speak to his nation, you see. Now, with that in mind, let's look here for just a few moments at the outline that we've made of this book. Very simple outline, actually, in just 2 major divisions. We have 14 chapters here, actually more than you have in the book of Daniel, yet we call this a minor prophet. And we have in the first 3 chapters that which is personal, and that's the prophet and his faithless wife, Gomer. It's the scandal of his home and the gossip of the town that we get in the first 3 chapters. Then we have the prophetic. It's the Lord and the faithless nation, Israel, from chapters 4 through 14. So now we come in chapter 1 to the marriage of Hosea and Gomer, the harlot. Let's read this as we move along. Verse 1 again, "The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah." Now, these were the kings in the south at this particular time. "And in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, king in the north." Now, you can't have them any worse than what we got here in the way of kings in the northern kingdom. Now we have the time given to us. Verse 2, "The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea." This is the way that God approached the prophet, and it's a rather startling thing. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land hath committed great harlotry, departing from the Lord. Now, I highly recommend the Scofield Reference Bible. If you don't have one, you ought to get one. I still use the old one a great deal, but right now I have before me the new Scofield Reference, and I recommend it. Some people get the idea that those of us who use and recommend the Scofield Bible, that we feel like the notes are inspired. Now, just to show you that I don't believe they're inspired, I want to say I totally disagree with the first statement that you have here in the way of notes for this verse. And I'm reading the note. God did not command Hosea to take an immoral wife, but permitted him to carry out his desire to marry Gomer, warning him that she would be unfaithful and using the prophet's sad experience as a basis for the presentation of lessons about God's relation to Israel. Now, I consider this a very nice way to get God off of the hook. But you don't have to get him off the hook. He takes full responsibility for this. And the way I understand this is that the Lord said to Hosea, go. And my parents said that to me as a boy. Go someplace. Go to the store. Or go to school. I always interpreted that as a command. And I'm of the opinion that this is not just a permission, it's a command. Because this man Hosea, as we've said in the message that we've given, a young man there in the northern kingdom, probably in the Ephraim country, this beautiful girl that he met, he fell madly in love with her. And then she played the harlot, and naturally he wanted to put her aside. He wanted to marry her, but he wouldn't dare do it in a little town. And the Mosaic law said, stone her. What's he going to do? God says, go and marry her. And God's actually asking him to break the Mosaic law. Somebody says, well, that's terrible. Not when God says you to do it, friends. God said to him, Hosea, you are in love with her. Now you want to put her aside. I don't want you to put her aside. I want you to marry her. And he said that she's a wife of harlotry. She's played the harlot. And children of harlotry. Apparently there was a record in the family of that. Then he's going to make it clear to him at the beginning how he's going to use this in this prophet's life. He says, for the land, that is now the northern kingdom, hath committed great harlotry, departing from the Lord. Now, he's comparing that which is physical harlotry, or physical adultery, to that which is spiritual adultery, or spiritual harlotry. And that, you'll find, is applicable to the believer today. You can play fast and loose with God, and you're nothing in the world but a harlot, a spiritual harlot in his sight. That's exactly the language that he uses, and God uses pretty plain language, and I could wish today the pulpit was a little stronger than it is. We are trying to be very nice today, all of us are, and as a result, we're not really sometimes as strong as the Word of God. Now, will you notice, we move on. Verse 3 now of chapter 1 of Hosea. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, who conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Now, we can see readily not only the marriage, but the children are going to present here a real spiritual lesson for the nation Israel. Jezreel is the name of the son, and it means God will scatter, and God will avenge the blood of Jezreel. Now, Jezreel is the name of a city. I've been through the ruins of it, and it's the name of a famous plain. I've been through that. I'm sure that many of you have. We call it Armageddon, actually. Esdraelon, the Valley of Esdraelon. And it has a long, bloody history in the past and still has and will have in the future. Now, this is a son. God is going to scatter the northern kingdom. And you remember Isaiah's children had a spiritual message for the nation. Now I read verse 6. And she conceived again and bore a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah. Now, what does Lo-Ruhamah mean? And by the way, if you have a whole lot of daughters in your family and you've run out of names, I've got several suggestions to make to you, and here's one of them, Lo-Ruhamah. I don't know whether you'd want to use it or not, because it means unpitied. And this has a tremendous message. Listen to it. Call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. There's always been the question of whether it's possible for a person to step over a line and the grace of God not be able to reach them. And there are those that believe that you could never step over that line. And then there are those that believe that you can step over the line. Well, may I give you my viewpoint of it, and you can take my judgment for what it's worth. But I think the meaning is actually somewhere between. And this is what I mean, and I'm not trying to run with the hare and with the hounds both in this. But I do not believe that you can ever get to a place where the grace of God couldn't reach down and touch you. They just don't get that low, that the grace of God can't go down and get you. But wait just a minute. You can keep on sinning in the face of the grace and mercy of God and keep turning it down and keep turning away from God as these people were doing. And there comes a day when you've stepped over a boundary. And it doesn't mean the grace of God can't reach you, but it does mean that there'll be nothing in you that the grace of God can lay hold of. Now, I think I've used this illustration recently about when I first came to Pasadena as pastor in a church here. That's been many years ago, back in about 1940. And shortly after I came here, a wife wanted me to go see her sick husband. He was at home and dying there. I went to see him, and I presented the gospel to him. She wanted me to, and he was a very polite man. He listened to me. He said, Dr. McGee, you know, I would say yes. I will accept Christ as my Savior. And in fact, I'm going to do it. But he said, I want to tell you this. I have played and trifled with God all my life. I have been down to an altar 25 times. I have promised him, and then I've turned from him. And I've never been sincere. And I'll be honest with you. I can't tell you right now, when I tell you I'll accept Christ, whether I'm sincere or not. And all I could do at the funeral when I looked down at him could say under my breath, oh, God, I hope he was sincere. I hope he really meant it. I hope the grace of God reached down and touched him. But you can trifle with God. This nation did. And the day came, God says, I'll no longer have mercy on you. And that day came. It was a tremendous day, by the way. Now he says, verse 7, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. Now, God said, I'm not ready yet to judge the house of Judah. Why? Well, for the sake of David. God said for the sake of David, he wouldn't divide the kingdom unto Solomon. He said for the sake of David again and again that he would save the southern kingdom. Well, may I say to you that somebody may want to criticize this and say that's not fair. Well, I don't know whether it's fair or not, but I thank God, friends, that God showed mercy to me and that he was patient and continued to show mercy, and he continues today to show mercy. He says, I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and I'll save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now, he says, I'm not going to save them by the fact that they've got phantom jets and atom bombs. I'm not going to save them by the means of arms. And if you want to read that story, it's a tremendous story of how God delivered these people. You'd have to go back into 1 Kings, No, you'd have to go to 2 Kings, the 19th chapter, and to Isaiah 37. You'll read how God miraculously delivered these people, the southern kingdom at this time, but he didn't deliver the northern kingdom. Now, will you notice verse 8? Now, when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, takes about a couple years over in that country to wean a child, sometimes 3 years, she conceived and bore a son. Now, here's another son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Now, if that was the only verse in the Bible, I would agree with the amillennialists today that God is through with the nation Israel. And I wish devoutly that even many of our premillennial brethren would quit reaching in and pulling a verse out here and a verse out there and saying this is being fulfilled. I challenge anybody to read the prophecy of Hosea and come up with an intelligent answer that says God is through with the nation Israel. Now, just read the next verse, and we'll be clear on this. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And that's a marvelous thing. They have been decimated again and again by persecution. Think what Hitler did. And here's a marvelous prophecy that he's going to increase their number. And he says, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you're not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you're the sons of the living God. God is not through with them. You just have to keep reading the Bible, friend, and don't pull one verse out. Now will you notice verse 11? Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together. The nation will come together. There's no 10 lost tribes, by the way. And appoint themselves one head. They don't have that, and they're not all in agreement, even over in Israel today, I can assure you. And they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. My, what a wonderful prophecy this is here. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Say ye unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. That is, you are pitted now, and you are my people. God is not through with the nation Israel. Now, I'm going to develop that farther when we get to the third chapter. But there are too many people today that are saying that the present return of the nation Israel to that land is a fulfillment of prophecy in the Old Testament. I totally disagree with that viewpoint. That's not a fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament. And I'm going to talk on that. I think I'll get that far next time. If I don't, it's coming up in the near future. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
The Old Testament really has engaging stories of people and problems and faith, doesn't it? Isn't it great what good, solid Bible teaching can do to awaken your passion for God's Word? All of God's Word? Now, don't forget that Dr. McGee's notes and outlines are also available to you for free. All you have to do is visit us at ttb.org and click on the Resources section to download them immediately. Or you can call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll put them in the mail right away. Also, if you'd like to spend more time with each day's study yourself, we do have a couple of ways that you can do that. First, you can listen again online at ttb.org for free, of course, or you can buy the books in CD albums or the entire 5-year series in an MP3 album. And then another great resource for you to consider is Dr. McGee's paperback commentary on Hosea and Joel. It's a small volume that'll allow you to review these lessons wherever you go. Now, the purpose in mentioning these items is to help you grow in God's Word. That's it. There's no hidden agenda. So if you enjoy what you hear on the broadcast and you want to take your Bible study deeper, we're here to help. Just visit our online bookstore at ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And we'll be glad to send you our resources catalog that highlights the resources that our listeners have found most helpful in their personal study. And as always, if you'd prefer to contact us by mail, we can be reached at Through the Bible, Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Now, I don't want to go today without reminding you that we'd love to have you join our world prayer team. Don't miss this amazing opportunity to join me and Greg and hundreds of other Through the Bible listeners as we pray our way through cities, countries, and continents, asking God to transform the hearts and lives of the people that we meet along the way. Now, as we mentioned earlier, joining is really easy. All you have to do is visit ttb.org/pray, and you can sign up. And once you do that, you're on the team. And as a member, you'll receive a daily email with information about the country or region that we're lifting up that day. And don't worry, we ask nothing else of World Prayer Team members but to pray together, because we believe that this is the most important thing that we can all do for the worldwide ministry of Through the Bible. So join us as we intercede and give thanks for what God is doing in our hearts and in the hearts of people around the world. Again, to sign up, go to ttb.org and click on the World Prayer Team button. And on Monday, we'll hear what happens to individuals who refuse to recognize God. I hope that you'll join us right here on Through the Bible. And until then, I pray that God's great grace, mercy, and peace would be with you until we meet again. This program's been brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of the worldwide ministry of Through the Bible Radio Network.